Blog Talk Radio.
All right, hello, folks. This is James Bell here on Blog Talk Radio and the Boxing the Source Radio Show here. Just doing a live interview session. We're supposed to have a young prospect come in to speak about his career and what he's done so far in the pro ranks. So we're just waiting on him to call in and see if we could get something going here. So just see if we could set that up here for a minute, and we'll get started.
Hello.
Yes, Lamont Roach.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing all right. I'm doing all right. Yeah, just here with Lamont Roach Jr., young professional boxer here in the D.C. area. Just going to go through a few questions here for you since we saw you on at the D.C. Armory on March 5th here with your recent unanimous decision win over Jesus Lule. Just tell us real quick about, you know, your career and how it's gone so far over the past couple of years.
I feel as though my career has been moving smooth thanks to Golden Boy. Thanks to Golden Boy Promotions, you know, they're moving me the right way. We're not moving too fast, not moving too slow, stepping up the competition in every fight. So I feel like I'm on my way to doing good things.
No doubt. Just seeing here, with that recent win, you moved up to 10 wins and zero losses, and it seems like you're having a great start here to your professional career. Just real quick, did you have an extensive amateur career, and how was that like?
Yes, I did. I had over 100 amateur wins, only 16 losses. I won 11 national championships, and I competed internationally on the USA team as well.
That's great. That's great. What years were you on the U.S. national team?
2013, after I won the 2013 U.S. national championship.
That's good. That's good. Now, seeing here, you know, after you had that extensive amateur career, you pretty much got signed on to the professional ranks. How did you basically get noticed by Golden Boy Promotions and basically get on to, you know, their fights and being into their fight cards that they put together?
Well, Demetrius Ballard, we've been boxing together for about 9 years. He was signed to Golden Boy Promotions straight out of amateurs as well. So, My dad is his manager. My dad managed me as well. So, of course, we had that contact. But they had noticed me when I was fighting, talking to my dad and whatnot. And they seen a couple videos, and they liked what they saw.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I see that Ballard was, you know, part of that card over at the D.C. Armory on March 5th, too, when he did score a win also. Just real quick, how has your family been, you know, behind you? Because you had a, you know, very large crowd there at the D.C. Armory. I was pretty much, you know, behind your family where I was sitting at the D.C. Armory.
Yeah.
So how have they been, you know, receiving your professional career so far?
Oh, they're loving it. They wish that I fight at home more often. That was only my second fight at home. So, of course, everyone was there. and they support me 100%. They're behind me 100%.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Just going over a couple of things here through your professional career. We've seen that you've, you know, traveled a little bit here in the Northeast area, you know, in Philadelphia and Verona, New York, and Boston. But also see that, you know, the fight that you had before March 5th, you were in the Madison Square Garden. How was that experience for you?
Oh, that was a wonderful experience. Fighting at the Mecca of Boston. So it's just a great feeling, you know what I'm saying? Somebody told me, like, that was the actual ring that Ali and Frazier wanted to place in. So it's just amazing. A humbling experience.
Yeah, there's a lot of history behind being at the Madison Square Garden for boxing fights. And it's like you said, they, you know, had Ali Frazier won there. A few, numerous other memorable matchups have happened in there. You had Miguel Cotto basically, you know, have his hometown fights there for a while, and had a couple of other, you know, recent big events happen in that arena. So, yeah, I know, I'm sure that was an honor for you to, you know, perform at the Madison Square Garden.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, cool. Just seeing here that, you know, you're pretty much at the lightweight division. How is that going for you as far as, like, being comfortable at that weight class and being able to, you know, work out in training and stay within that, you know, weight?
I feel comfortable. I think I'm going to be at 130 for a long time. I don't want to move up from 130 until I win a championship, a title at 130. So we'll be here, and when we win a title, then we'll discuss going up in weight.
Good. I mean, you're a young 20-year-old fighter out there. So yeah, you still may have a little bit of growing to do, you know, later on in your career. But yeah, for the time being, if you wanted to, you know, stay at lightweight and, you know, build up your resume and things like that, and go after a lightweight title, that's, you know, that's all good right there. Like you said, over at lightweight, you're, you know, aspiring to, you know, get a shot at a lightweight title. Just seeing here, what other plans you may have other than being at lightweight? Like you said, you wanted to, you know, move up probably one division. Is that like within, you know, maybe 3 years or more?
Depending on what fights we get and, you know, how we approach them and how we get those victories. If a title comes quicker than we expect, then depending on how I am or how I grow or how I fill out at 130, then, you know, that's going to play a role in if I move up to 135. And then I want to be a multi-division champion. So, of course, later in my career, I'm going to discuss moving up and winning a title after I capture a 130 title. I'm going to want to capture a 135 title and so on and so forth. However, my body grows or allows me to grow.
Gotcha. Now, just seeing here, since you're over here in the DMV area, where do you necessarily do your training at? Which gym do you train at?
We train out of No Excuse Gym. That's our gym, built it from the ground up. We have plenty of amateurs in there that are national champions. We breed champions at No Excuse. So that's in Capitol Heights, Maryland.
True. The DMV area is a very, you know, extensive area as far as, like, the gyms that they have here, and a lot of amateurs come through here. A few of them are professionals as well. Are there, like, other professionals that you work with? You mentioned your friend Demetrius Ballard. Is there, like, any other professionals that you work with at No Excuses Gym?
Yes, we have Kevin Rivers Jr. as well. Those are our three pros at our gym. Me, Demetrius, and Kevin Rivers, we all signed the Golden Boy promotion.
And he was also featured in the fight card with you and Demetrius over at the DeSciamri as well. Y'all are basically getting y'all names out there. They're putting y'all, fitting y'all in to the cards there for Golden Boy and giving y'all exposure there. So, sometimes with our professional boxing, it's all about, getting your name out there, making sure that people see you, out there and getting noticed so that you get the shots that you need. Winning is part of the game, but also being seen is another part of the game, too.
Right, putting butts in the seats.
Yep, exactly. As long as, people notice what you're doing and people talk about you, then they'll be, requesting to see you more and more. Had another general question for you. Since you've been coming up from the amateur ranks and the professional ranks, what are the fighters that you've necessarily modeled yourself after or kind of, idolized as you were coming up in the amateur and professional ranks?
Well, in the amateurs, I looked up to a lot of local guys, guys that were not too much older than me, but they were a little ahead of me, like the crop that came up before me, like Demetrius Ballard. We always fought together. You have Mike Reed. They're all in that crop before me. The crop that was eligible to fight for the 2012 Olympics. That crop. I also like Lamar Peterson. He said, just to see them walking around the area and doing the same things that you aspire to do, it's just motivation.
The Peterson brothers out here, over there at the Headbangers Gym as well. So they hang around the D.C. area a lot, along with a few other guys that they've had out here, like Tony Thompson and among others. So, it's good to, see if you could see all of these other professional guys that have been out there and have done the thing for a while to, kind of show you the ins and outs of what's going on in the professional boxing ranks.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, just going back in here to this recent fight that you had with Jesus there, like, how did you feel, going up against this guy in the ring for this lightweight fight?
Oh, I felt good. The guy we wasn't supposed to fight. We wasn't scheduled to fight Jesus Lule. We was scheduled to fight Mario Macias. I guess he's, I think he was 28-17 with 13 knockouts. Record, something like that. But he didn't get on the plane, so, they had to find someone that would take the fight. So, it was I wasn't disappointed because I got my opportunity to fight, but we really wanted that Mario Macias fight. And it would look good on paper, and I would look good against a more quality opponent.
Right. That's another thing about boxing at times is that you're kind of preparing yourself for a specific fighter, and then all of a sudden it kind of like gets thrown off because a person couldn't make it either. Due to injury or they couldn't make the flight or something like that. And so you got to, be in there with the last-minute replacement, not necessarily knowing how their fighting style is, but as long as, you're comfortable with yourself inside the ring and comfortable with what you do inside the ring, then you pretty much don't have to worry about much else.
Right. Yeah, it's a crazy game, but, I'm always ready for anything.
Yeah, that's good. So, just seeing here, is there, anything else in the near future for you here, or if you might be able to, reschedule a fight with your originally scheduled opponent?
I leave that up to my management, my dad, and my team. So, whatever they decide, then, we'll,
We're ready for anything. I'm already back in the gym this week, so you know, hopefully we're back in the ring soon. I don't like you know, long layoffs. I like to stay active.
Yeah, it's good to be staying active there. Like once you stepped in, you know, stepped into the ring with your first professional fight, I mean, you basically had, you know, what was it, about five fights in your first year right off the bat.
Yeah,
so it was like you're basically staying in the gym almost like 365 days a year in that case, because you always, you know, you always got to stay prepared, always got to stay ready. And once that fight, you know, gets up there and you're going to get pretty much prepared, you're basically just getting all the technical stuff done as far as like who your opponent is and stuff like that. You don't have to worry about, you know, getting in shape or anything like that, because you're staying in shape because you're in the gym already.
Yeah, that's what we you know, pride ourselves on doing, you know, to stay in the gym. Because when you do get that layoff, you get lazy, and nobody wants to stay active, you know, because you never know, they might call you for a big opportunity, and if you're ready, you know, you take advantage of that opportunity, seize the moment.
Yeah, it's basically like a small saying: hey, if you stay ready, then you don't have to get ready. And yeah, the thing is like, if you're basically staying in the gym pretty much 24/7, 365, it's not as hard to, you know, stay in shape or get into the proper weight that you need to be in order to have the fight that you're getting into, because you do have a lot of cases where, you know, some of these fighters that get prepared for fights aren't necessarily, you know, prepared for it and have to cut a lot of weight. So either they have to do a lot to cut a lot of weight, or they basically just don't come in at the proper weight that they need to be at.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty much how it goes. Now, just getting back to, you know, I'm going to take it all the way back. I'm just trying to see, like, what was your beginnings in the sport of boxing? Like, before you even got into the amateurs, like, what got you into boxing when you first started?
My dad took me and my cousin to the gym, and it was for him, but he just asked me if I wanted to box. And I said, yeah, and then, you know, it's been a wrap since then. I ain't missed a day since then.
That's good. That's good. What was the age that you started to, you know, get into the ring or get into, you know, a gym to box?
I was 9.
9 years old, man. Yeah. So it's been a good while, man.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah. So just seeing here. You're like here over in the Washington D.C. area. Like what have you been doing, like, outside of, you know, being in the gym or whatnot for these professional fights? Is it like, you know, you're just, you know, you like to do any, like, couple of things outside of being in the gym, or is it just, you know, straight boxing 24/7 with you?
I mean, you know, most bosses, you know, boxing is just, for most bosses, like, boxing is like a lot of boxing, stuff is, like, related to boxing or stuff like that outside of the ring as well. But, you know, I just like to chill my family, my friends, you know, hang out, because they know I work hard for what I do. And, you know, the times we get to spend with each other, we get to enjoy. But when I'm in training, you know, we really can't go out, hang out, and stuff like that. So when
right,
I do
exactly.
get that chance, I spend it with the, you know, my good folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just spending time with your friends and family. I mean, that, you know, they understand, you know, what's going on with you in your professional career. So once you're focused on that, they don't really, you know, contact you as much, so you don't really reach out to them unless if, you know, they want to speak to you about some, you know, about some things in reference to boxing or anything like that, correct?
Yeah.
True. Now, just closing out here, is there anything else that you know, want people to know about you or, you know, anything miscellaneous that, you know, some people may not know about you that you haven't really disclosed?
I don't think so. Yeah, I really don't think so. I think people know, like, people that do know me know just about everything, you know, that's need to be known to the, like, the public eye and whatnot. So it's not like
right.
No miscellaneous things. I just want people to know, like, just be on the lookout. Make sure y'all ready because I'm coming strong. I'm planning to take
no
over.
No doubt. No doubt, my man. No doubt. Just here real quick. See that you are in the social media ranks. So if there's like any pages that you want fans to follow, you can disclose it here. While we'll be able to, you know, promote it on the Boxing Source web pages on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and all of that.
My Instagram and Twitter, they're the same name, One of One. It's ONEOF, the number one, and then X. So those are my Instagram and Twitter names. Or you can search Lamont Rose Jr. They should they all should pop up. Facebook, Lamont Rose Jr. as well.
All right, no doubt. Well, thanks a lot for taking the time to come up with us here at the Boxing Source Radio Show. And I'll be looking out for your next fight here in the area or whatnot. And once everything comes through for your next professional fight, I'll be letting people know too, so people know that you're out there in the ring.
Okay.
All right, my brother. Take it easy.
All right, you take care.